Testimony? Anything on your heart?
That's right.
They sing the song, "I'm so glad God saves old sinners."
Amen.
And I'm glad that God don't care about your appearance. Doesn't matter. He don't care what you did.
That's right.
Awesome. What you've said in the past, when it comes time, God is loving to all of us, and I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to direct your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we weren't quite sure where we would go tonight, a scripture. But we do know that God, we lean on the Lord, and He directs all things. I'm thankful for that. I'll try to get in this microphone without getting too loud. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. And we have read this scriptures, and you know, I say that often, and I know that. Church, I believe we ought to be studying and reading our Bibles so that when we come to the house of God, no scripture should ever catch us by surprise.
Amen.
I mean, I believe that. I believe you ought to have read enough that and you should know them so that if someone begins to say something or try to quote something out of the Bible, we should know the Bible well enough to know if it's in there or not. And I think that's our job as God's children. Because we're not following men, we're following the leadership of the Lord. And I'll say this, there's been a lot of things quoted over the years that aren't in the Bible. And I've heard things said, and people stand up and go, "The Bible says this," and you just have to sit there and shake your head and go, "Nope, the Bible don't say that at all." We do love the gospel, and we love the Bible, and love to read it, study it, and we encourage everyone to do that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul's writing a letter here to the church of Corinth, and he says this, and he's talking about the constraining love of Christ in the latter part, second half of that chapter. And he's talking about how it is that we persuade men that we have made manifest unto God. That's verse 11. And he trusts that also they're made manifest to your conscience. Paul was trying to tell them that, you know, that knowing that the terror of the Lord and the things that are coming about, that he is preaching the gospel as hard as he can, and he is striving and doing everything he can to try to persuade men and women everywhere to be saved. And so that some of them might have even accused Paul of being half crazy, and much like they do today, whenever it seemed like in this world, if you're trying to persuade somebody to go to church, persuade somebody to get saved, there's always that notion that people have that I can wait, that I can postpone it, that there'll be another day and there'll be more time and I don't have to do it now. It's something I can put off till later. But the gospel tells us, and we know that life itself tells us, that we're not promised tomorrow. Nobody in the building tonight is promised that you're going to live to be 80 or 90 or 100 years old. Nobody's promised you're going to live to see tomorrow. And as Brother Dylan said already, he's got a friend, or had a friend rather, that left this life very young. I know people that I have family and loved ones that have left this life very young. And no doubt you know them as well. But I'm going to read it out of here, and we'll not keep you standing too long. Verse 17, let's pick it up there. And it says, therefore, Paul says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Very familiar scripture. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you can be seated tonight as we look at this premier, this portion of Scripture. And really, we have preached on this and touched on this over the years about the word reconciliation, or to be reconciled. what it is to be reconciled and what it means to be reconciled. Reconciliation is simply, as I've looked it up over the years and years past, and I never did it tonight before I come in this the building tonight, but to be reconciled means to be called back to. In other words, you've something that you owned or something that was within your possession has gotten out of your possession. And now you have done something to bring that back into your possession. And so if we look at this, we realize that there was one time that man dwelt and God dwelt with man. He walked in the garden with him. He walked and he fed him and he talked to him and he dwelt with him and he was there with him. Listen, and it was his desire because he had created them and he had loved them so that he could be with them, and mankind could walk next to God and talk next to God. And listen, and he would be there to overshadow them and to feed them and to love them. And wherever they went, he said, I will be with you. But then something happened. We all know what happened there. And listen, we all know that there was a separation that took place. God did not withdraw himself from man. Man fell from the grace of God. And listen, they fell because of disobedience. But now, Apostle Paul comes along and he says, because of Christ, God has made a way to reconcile you back. Listen, reconcile us back to himself. In other words, God has made a way. He has opened the door, and through Christ Jesus, we can be reconciled back to God. We are not reconciled back to God in the same sinful state that separated us. We are reconciled back in a new state of Christ Jesus, having a new creature born in us. And Apostle Paul, I said, that's why I said, therefore, hey, listen, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, because no one could be reconciled back to the Father living in the same sinful state that had separated them from God. And listen, and so therefore we know that Christ come to die for all. I'm amazed tonight that there are folks living among us and in this world that are simply trying to wait till the time that they die to find out whether or not they are going to be reconciled back to God. I'm not waiting until I leave this land to find out if God is happy with how I lived my life. Hey, I am born again, a new creature in Christ Jesus, and therefore I know that I'm reconciled already. Hey, listen, I'm reconciled here. I am sealed. Hey, listen, I know that my day of redemption is coming. Hey, listen, and I know there's a redeeming time and a day of rest because my reconciliation has already taken place. I'm already there. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what that means, Brother Jim Perry, is I'm as good as already in heaven. Hey, listen, the Father knows I'm coming. I know I'm going. The Holy Ghost has sealed me up until that day. Hey, listen, and so therefore, Apostle Paul was trying to tell him here that the love of God has constrained him. He had a zeal about him, and Christ had told him in one scripture that we are a peculiar people. He said he has, listen, taken those and sealed them up until the day of redemption. He has called them a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We know all that. We are purified by the blood of Christ. And so Paul here was talking to these people in Corinth and writing this letter to them and telling them simply, hey, listen, that if you be in Christ, you are a new creature already. For all the things have passed away, old things passed away. Behold, everything has been new. What is new in your life? I want you to ask that tonight. And I look around, and many of you here, as far as I know, made a profession. There might be a few tonight that have never made a profession. That's between you and God. And I hope that if you're lost, tonight is your night that you can be saved. And listen, I want you to know this tonight. How many of you realize that there was a change that took place on the day that you got saved? And listen, how many of you understand the newness of life that God put you in when you were born again? And if you were here tonight and you say, well, I remember going to the altar and I remember talking to the preacher and I remember being baptized, but I don't understand what it is to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Something's wrong somewhere. And listen, because you've gotten off track, or someone has steered you in the wrong direction, or you believe something that's not exactly right. And listen, because when God saves you, you know about it. And when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you know it's different. And when you hear the voice of God calling you out of sin, and your heart breaks, and you melt before Him, and you beg for mercy, when the Holy Ghost moves, they were changed. And listen, and when Peter walked out in the streets of Jerusalem, he wasn't telling them about the things that Christ had done when he was alive. He was telling them about a glorious Christ that had risen from the dead, had died for their sins, had shed his blood at Calvary, so that they could be born again, so that they could be reconciled. And Paul was writing here to the church of Corinth about how they needed to be reconciled back to God. And the only reconciliation we have is through the blood of Christ Jesus. And therefore the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached and given unto us is this ministry of reconciliation. Why do we persuade men to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because quite honestly and quite simply, that's the only way you'll ever go to heaven. There is no other way. And so there is no other gospel that can be preached. There is no other way of repentance that can be preached. It's not of good works, lest any man should boast, the Bible tells us. Apostle Paul wrote there, I believe, and it was a book of Ephesians, for we know that it's for by grace you're saved. And listen, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, but it's simply by faith. We know tonight that the Bible says that Abraham believed in God and he was counted as God's friend. And so therefore, I believe it was that Christ told the Pharisees in one scripture, as they begin to talk about Father Abraham, he said, you don't know Abraham. He listened. You might think you are the descendants of Abraham, but if you truly were, then you would know me, because Abraham knew me. And listen, and he said, before Abraham was, I was. Abraham believed. And listen, and had faith in him. Oh, listen, and he was telling them there, I don't care what you lean on. And we've got a lot of folks today leaning on their heritage and leaning on. And I said this Sunday, and listen, and we've said it over and over, they're leaning on the things that they learned in their house growing up, the things that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or someone taught them along the way, a Sunday school teacher, whoever it was, that might have taught them. They're believing that they're saved or they're sealed or they're on their way to heaven simply because of how they were raised. And what Christ told them there was simply, it don't matter those things. You must be born again. He said, if you believe me and you follow me and you listen to the words that I have spoken unto you, and listen, then you shall be my friend. And then you'll know. Paul was here just coming, following right behind him. For if ever we had an example in the Bible, it was Saul, leaning on his own understanding, thinking he was okay in the eyes of God, only to realize later that he was outside and he needed to be reconciled. And so it was Christ Jesus himself that shined the light around Saul, that showed him that this reconciliation had to take place. And I'll say this tonight, it's the same Spirit of God that shines its light around us, that lets us know that we need to be reconciled back to God. So what are we doing as a church? What does the pastor, what does the preacher do? And listen, he just preaches the ministry of reconciliation, preaches the gospel of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. The church lifts up the ministry of reconciliation and lets their light shine like a city set on a hill. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and lifting him up and pointing the world to him. Because that's where reconciliation is coming from. That's why we're born in Christ Jesus, made a new creature. Old things have passed away. When I said that, if you remember the time that you were saved, truly saved, and you know what salvation is, you know what the old things that have passed away, you know what Paul's writing about. Paul knew what he was writing about. The hatred that he had, the animosity that he had, the malice that he had towards those people that claimed Christ. And listen, and they were believers of God. Listen, and all those things that he once loved. He loved the formal things of the church, the formal things. Listen to the Pharisees and the religion they were caught up in. He was steeped in it. But all of a sudden, he was reconciled back to God. And when that reconciliation took place, he left the place that he was. And he became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all those old things passed away. Listen, we can look in the Bible tonight. We can see through the lives of Peter and John and some of those men in the Bible when the reconciliation time come, Hey, listen, they were still caught up in some of those old things, but I'm glad that God shows us along the way that we need to get rid of those things. And we can just let them go and get them out of the way when the Spirit of God comes in. We know this for a fact, Peter. Hey, listen, he was up on the house on the rooftop at Simon's house, and he would not go to Cornelius' house until the Lord came to him. And then I was reading that tonight at the house in Acts chapter 10, I believe it was, or maybe 11 over there, maybe 12. It got in there where he was rehearsing what he was going to tell his brothers when he got back to Jerusalem. And sure enough, when he got back, they said, "What are you doing going down to the Gentiles' house?" And he said, "Well, quite honestly, fellas, the Lord told me that I needed to go." And when I got down there, he said, "Those six men that were with me, and listen, when we got down there, we saw the Holy Ghost fall. As I began to preach about Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and it fell on them just like it fell on us." And then they all of a sudden stopped, and they said, "Well, then God has revealed Himself and given reconciliation of the Spirit unto the Gentiles the same way He has to the Jews." So He's reconciled all men, all women. Don't matter who you are, don't matter how you live, don't matter what you've done, don't matter how you looked. But when the Spirit of God comes, it just breaks you down. And it helps you. And when you're born again, you come up different. You come up different. And I'm thankful for that. And you live different. It's not a difference one day. That was my fear when I was lost. And the day that I got saved, my fear was, would this pass? Like all the other times when I thought I would do better. All the other times when I left church being convicted. And driving home and saying, "Well, I'll start to do better. And I'll do better. And I'll make it better." And it would last a day or two. But somehow that feeling of conviction after a day or two would get weaker and it would get weaker. And then finally about midweek it was gone. Till about Saturday or Sunday morning. And all of a sudden I realized I was going to church. And I would think, "Well, I don't know if I really want to go." That's what being in yourself will do. But when the Spirit of God come down and saved me, and I was on cloud nine all day that day and laid down, and I thought, "Lord, I don't want this feeling to leave or diminish." And I woke up the next day and it had not diminished at all. And then the next day come and God was still there. And then Wednesday come and God was still there. And then when I came into the church and I heard Him sing in the choir, all of a sudden it was much more precious. And when the gospel was preached, I wasn't convicted anymore. I was rejoicing. Because I knew that I had received a reconciliation from God. And listen, I was no longer sitting a sinner among the house of God's children. I was in the house with God's children. And I was part of the house with God's children. And I was God's child. And I still am today. Because all things were made new. He's reconciled us. And when He reconciled us, that means He doesn't lose us. For God don't lose those. Christ Jesus there, as He was praying, He said to His Father, He said, "I've lost none." And He still has lost none. He never will. And so I'm not a big fan of these folks that, or the doctrine, I should say, it's really doctrine that's being taught. You can get saved today and you can be lost tomorrow. I grew up like that. I had a grandma that would put fear in your heart. She would say, you got to go to church, you got to go to heaven, you got to be born again. But if you slip up and say one bad word, you're going to hell. I was living in fear. I mean, I was a child. I didn't understand. I wasn't saved then. I was saved when I was 17. But I mean, I was raised like that. And it scared me. And I know people like that even today. And I told him, I said, "You're living in fear." He said, "Well, aren't you afraid?" And I said, "I don't live in fear. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." And so I don't live in fear. Am I afraid of God? Yes, I am. Will I slip up? Yes, I will. Am I afraid that He will chastise me? You better believe He will. And I believe He will, but He will not blot my name out and send me to hell. Simply because my flesh overrides a spirit every now and then, and I get ignorant in myself. God loves me enough that He that is within me will stir me up and make me remember who I am. And God will chasten me because He loves me. Not because He hates me. Christ died for me because He loved me, and He saved me because He loved me. God's not going to throw me in the depths of hell because He loves me. He's going to chasten me because He loves me. and I'm still reconciled. For I don't write my children off simply because they do something in their own ignorance. I might get frustrated, but I still love them. When they're my children and they're my house, I'll chasten them because I love them. And then I'll talk to them and show them, and I still love them. And that's where correction is. So I'm glad we're not given a spirit of fear when we're reconciled back to God. And He shows us that He loves us. Paul said to wit that God was in Christ. We know that God in the flesh, I mean, He was His own Son, reconciling the world unto Himself. Thank God. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That He took our sins, all of them, to Calvary. The Bible says He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and He nailed them to the cross. He put them on the tree, and He shed His blood and covered every one of them.
Amen. That's right.
So that whosoever would could come unto Him and be saved. Simply by having faith that Jesus is the only Son of God.
Right.
And He died for my sins and your sins. I'm glad I'm reconciled.
Amen.
And I'm glad I know that I'm reconciled.
Amen.
And if you can't say that with an assurance in your heart and go to sleep with a smile on your face and a peace, then you need to get on an altar and get that worked out. And I can't do it for you, but you need to come to the Lord and ask God and have a conversation with Christ. As Brother Bob always says, God is in the saving business, and He still is.
Amen.
And He's changing hearts. You just got to come to Him. We're going to ask Brother James to come and get a song tonight. We want to stand to our feet. I want to thank God for the opportunity to be here. It's Wednesday night. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to make a few announcements here in a minute. But right now, while they sing, we want to give us time for you to come. If you need to pray, get on this altar. If you're not sure, 100% sure where you're going when you die, then you need to get on this altar and pray and ask God to settle that in your heart. Get that resolved tonight. Get that settled in your heart. You should not be conflicted in your mind at all. Your mind will tell you one thing today and it'll confuse you tomorrow. You get settled in your heart, you'll know for sure. When the Spirit of God comes in, it'll let you know for sure. To make a few announcements, but before we do, we'd like